Whoever welcomes one such child, whoever welcomes one such, fill in the blank maybe, welcomes me. And not only me, but welcomes the one who sent me. I think I've about worn out my welcome. Have you ever worn out your welcome? Have you? I'd like to hear about that. How do you wear out your welcome? That's actually a funny phrase, isn't it? You're actually wearing out the other person's welcome, right? How do you wear out your own welcome? You go one step too far, maybe, with your hospitality, or one day too far, right? Three's the limit, right? Fish and company or family, whatever. Yeah. Well, but today, the welcome is all about children. Well, it says it's all about children. We'll see where we go. Surely we got one more sermon on welcome in us, especially if it's about kids. We'll allow it, right? You'll allow it? Yeah. I'm going to start with this poem, and I shared this a couple weeks ago at the Wednesday night gathering. It's a poem by Rumi called The Guest House, and it's challenging. Rumi is like a 13th century mystic, a Sufi mystic, which means he blended religions, one of which was Islam. His primary religion would have been Islam, but he's a believer, and he writes about God as the beloved, and it's beautiful. But then he writes this poem about what it means to be human, and it's called The Guest House. He says, this being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, some new insight, some new understanding, momentary understanding comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, he says. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if, and here's the hard part, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, he says, treat each one honorably. Treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. Okay, if you were wondering what's in it for me, he may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them all at the door laughing and invite them in, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Meet them all at the door laughing and invite them in, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. That's Rumi's ruminations about what it means to be human. Welcome the joy, I can do, the depression, the meanness, the dark thought, the shame, the malice. Welcome them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who come and violently sweep you. Wow, that is challenging. And people, that Wednesday night, I mean, we're just talking about welcoming, and I thought this is a great image, the guest house. And this is what it means to be human. It means to open myself up to what life brings me that day, each day, every day, and I'll just live with it. In AA, they call this living life on life's terms. Seems simple enough until you do it. Until life shows up, right? Well, today, think about the guest house. Think about what I said. But okay, today, the story that Jesus brings us is about children. And you saw and you heard me comment with them when they wander through here with their big, sad eyes and their little... It's so easy to welcome children, right? So today, rather than think about the dark thought, the depression, the malice, the violent sweeping of my house of furniture, okay, let's just open our home that is our guest house to children. Right? You can do that. Well, guess what you just did? You just let in the dark thought, the depression, the meanness. I mean, their children are cute in here on Sunday morning when they're wandering around, but I know from experience, my house has been swept violently with children, my own and yours, right? I mean, I'm being honest here. So we're going to have to set the cute children aside for a moment and just deal with the real children that we live with every day. Can I get an amen from a mom? Amen. Or a dad? Dads see it differently, maybe. Yeah. But seriously, everything that Rumi says in there, I've experienced with a child, in welcoming a child. The dark thought, the depression, the meanness. Does Jesus really mean that? As we welcome a children with all that they bring, that we're welcoming him, and not only him, but the one who sent him. Jesus is introducing us to the hospitality mission of the Christian faith, that what we're all about. Welcome them. Whoever welcomes them welcomes me. And I think that children are just a little tiny motorized reality of what the whole world really has to offer. Joy and laughter and fun and games and offerings and big sad eyes and meanness and depression and dark thoughts. Can we really welcome everything? That's kind of the question. That's the question that's before us. And I had this in our bulletin last week and totally forgot to mention it. So I want to mention it today. It's on the back of this song, the insert for you. It's a welcoming statement. It's something that we've come up with. Several people have read it. You know, it started with Sunday school. Actually, it started with a couple of other churches. We borrowed from First Christian Church. We borrowed from Grace United Methodist Church. Both churches are open and affirming. So we're looking for language that says welcome. All right, so how do we welcome the child? How do we welcome everyone? And so we've attempted to put a statement together, and we've been looking at these on Wednesday nights, and people have offered questions and feedback. That's the main thing I want you to do with this, is not necessarily read right now, or I might say a word about it, but I really want to know what you think about this. Circle words on here that you think are problematic, if you think it could be better. Is there a question you have? Why is this here? Why are we doing this? You know, write that on here and just leave it with me. Or set it up here in the offering plate. Okay? Seriously. Scribble on this. If you think it's great, say, this is great. Awesome. Thanks. I'm glad you did it. My question's around two words. And it has something to do with we welcome all. We welcome all. As God's grace is present in all creation, our welcome is extended to all spiritual seekers. People of all races, all ethnic backgrounds, all generations, all physical and mental abilities, all economic conditions, all gender identities, all sexual orientations. Celebrating the diversity of our faith journeys, we affirm the faith, baptism, and spiritual gifts of all and invite you to bless this church with your presence and service. Our welcome is extended to all. The shorthand version of that might be, all are welcome, right? I say it at the table every week. I hope you've heard it. All are welcome. The question is, and there's two little asterisks. There's an asterisk next to the word all, and there's an asterisk in my mind, not literally an asterisk, and there's an asterisk next to the word welcome. What do we mean when we say all? And what do we mean when we say welcome? Well, part of what we've been working on and exploring is to try to be articulate and to say, when we say all, we mean all. There's no one excluded. So It's pretty open. And so one way to address that is to try to name them all. So we named a lot of things here. Race, ethnic background, generations, meaning age and, you know, where you land in the whole age spectrum. Physical and mental abilities, right? Economic conditions, gender identity, orientation, right? So that's what we mean by all. We mean, and the reason we name a lot of these, by the way, is because historically, many of these people have been excluded intentionally, deliberately, painfully and powerfully and oppressively by the church, right? You can go back to slavery, you can go back before that. Lots of groups have been excluded by the church simply because of who they were. And the church had these ideas that these people were lesser, and they got those ideas out of the Bible, right? You could say the same thing about racism, just a lot of these things. There are ideas, they drew these ideas from the Bible, and they oppressed and excluded people. They've been doing it for a long time. So we specifically have named some of those people. So that's what we mean by all. We just mean all. Well, can't we just say all? Well, yeah, we can. But everybody says all. We mean it. So we need to say something about who it is, especially maybe naming some of these groups. Well, what if we forget somebody? Well, what if? We'll deal with it, right? We'll do the best we can today. In 2020, who knows? Maybe all will expand to something else. But this is pretty inclusive and exhaustive, I think, this list. The other asterisk around the word welcome is what? What do we mean when we say welcome? Pardon?
Acceptance.
Thank you. So we accept. I'll tell you one thing. This just kind of comes to me as I think of, you know, we've been in dialogue. That's the great thing about dialogue is I hear something and I think, oh, well, I haven't thought about that. Now I'm thinking about it. Well, being welcome is not the same as being comfortable. I think this is important. Because I can think of somebody, we all know somebody probably who comes from a very Christian background. A lot of you have family members, I know. We have family members from very conservative Christian churches. They would be welcome here, right? But they would not be comfortable here. And just because they wouldn't be comfortable here, that doesn't mean that they're not welcome. Somebody said to me this week, or I heard somebody say, you know, well, so-and-so, a friend of mine is not comfortable, wouldn't be comfortable at a gay wedding, and she certainly wouldn't be comfortable in a church with gay people. What if some man said that he was celebrating 6 years of marriage with his husband in worship, in prayer concerns? I'm not comfortable with that. And, you know, let's be honest, that pushes on comfort levels. There are probably people sitting in these pews, not necessarily out there, who aren't necessarily comfortable with that. But your comfort is not the same as my welcome. You are still welcome here. And what we believe and who we are and how we extend the hospitality that we understand is Christ's hospitality. We welcome all as Christ welcomed all. Then we leave your comfort level up to you. And we hope that together we work on it. I'm working on it myself. You know, I'm trying to understand different races, different points of view, different cultural backgrounds. I have a lot to learn. This guest house of mine has not quite been swept empty. I'm still holding on to some old ideas. I would love to be prepared for some new delight. Maybe I should be careful what I ask for. Because it might mean I'm going to be violently knocked off my feet here with some joy or depression. Who knows? But anyway, this guest house is still in process of learning what welcome means. And that's a huge part of it. What I find really intriguing about this story in the Bible, and Drew mentioned, you know, the story before this had to do with a child who was possessed of a demon. There are stories after this that have to do with children. In fact, if you turn your page to chapter 10, people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. Wait a minute. We just welcome everybody. He's a busy man. We don't have time for kids. They might be carrying diseases, blah, 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 blah. They're the good old disciples that we know so well. You can't do that. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. See, welcoming is about accepting. It's also about receiving. And we have no idea what's out there that we are ready to receive. And Jesus uses this very interesting language of kingdom. It's kingdom language. And understand, he lived in a culture that was very kingdom driven. There were empires and there were rulers and there were kingdoms and powers and principalities, right? But he had an alternative vision of what that kingdom might be. And he tells parables about it, and he gives us little glimpses of it. The last will be first, the first shall be last. There'll be food at the table for everyone. I mean, it's just a lovely vision. It's disturbing on many levels because it shakes up our worldview. But the kingdom that he's inviting us to welcome is life in the realm of God. It's this beautiful welcome. Welcome. And so when we receive the child, when we receive the person of a different gender identity or just anything, just fill in the blank, we receive Christ. And when we receive Christ, we receive the kingdom. Right? This world-altering way of being human with one another. There's another poem on my mind these days. I'm going to share this one to close. It's called The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. You guys know this? The English majors know it. You'll know it when you hear it because it's on a plaque of the Statue of Liberty. And Emma Lazarus was a Jewish immigrant to this country. And she wrote this poem in 18-something, 48, I'll say, 68. Her parents were Jewish immigrants. They moved here from Portugal, I think. But when she was a child, she studied about how the Jews had been oppressed and killed and all over the world. And she wrote this poem. One story I heard was that it was a poetry contest then to honor the Statue of Liberty. But another story I read this week said that she wrote it she was already a kind of a well-known writer, and it was auctioned to help pay for the pedestal for the Statue of Liberty. But she had this vision of what this Statue of Liberty would mean for our country. And she says, not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame, a mighty woman whose torch is the imprisoned lightning, and whose name, the Mother of Exiles. Her name, the Mother of Exiles. And from her beacon hand glows a worldwide welcome. That word is right there. From her beacon hand glows a worldwide welcome. And I'm trying to remember. And her mild eyes command. And her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. You can picture the Statue of Liberty in New York on one side and New Jersey on the other. And here's the part you know. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Wow. It's good to be reminded sometimes of what welcome looks like. And from a Jewish immigrant here, what she might have envisioned for that mother of exiles in the harbor, what that would mean for us as a country. And I'm thinking about that for the church. I mean, where is the Statue of Liberty for the church? What is the Statue of Liberty for the church? Is it the cross? Could somebody write a wonderful poem? I'm sure there are thousands out there, but about the welcome that this cross, you know, that stands and strides or straddles our open, welcome place here in this church. What would it mean? Who would be welcome? That's the question I'm left with. To be welcomed, to be a place of refuge, especially for those who are most desperate to know the love and grace of God. Amen.